all. Thank you for coming. Today we're going to be talking about Wikipedia. My name is Ilanka Dunnan. My day job is that I'm a game developer. I'm also an author. I've written on cryptography. I have helped Dan Brown, the Da Vinci Code author, with the research for a couple of his books. And he actually named a character after me in his most recent book, The Lost Symbol. So I am not only a Wikipedia editor, but there's also an article about me on Wikipedia, which gives me a very interesting perspective, especially because of the number of people that come in to vandalize my article whenever they get angry at me. So I can definitely talk about things from this. I got interested in Wikipedia in about 2005 in its early days and edited several articles and then decided to try and become an administrator. It was very difficult for me because the community is very anti-authority. So there's a voting process. The community has to approve you. And because the community is so anti-authority, they didn't want to have someone who was an administrator who also had an article about themselves. It was against the culture. So I got voted down, and then I ran again several months later and got voted down again, and then I ran again several months later. It was one of those controversial votes in Wikipedia history, but I did finally become an administrator. And to the chagrin of those who voted against me, I've never actually misused my administrator access despite all of their concerns. I've edited or expanded hundreds of articles on Wikipedia and have, I think, about 65,000 edits. It's a way that Wikipedia editors kind of measure their status. So I guess that puts me in like the top 200, 250 active editors on the English Wikipedia. So in this talk, I'm going to be going over a little bit about the structure of Wikipedia, a little bit about how disputes are handled on Wikipedia, and some of the areas and types of conflict, and then I'll be giving advice. I'll both be talking about when I help train other new administrators, the kinds of things that administrators will tell others to do, so you can learn kind of that administrator mindset, and also just advice to editors, anyone that wants to edit Wikipedia. So just kind of as a quick check, how many people here have ever read a Wikipedia article? Okay. How many people here have ever tried to change a Wikipedia article? All right. Has anyone ever tried to change something and watched it immediately disappear? Okay. So I'll be talking about that process, definitely. And then at the end, I'll allow a lot of time for questions and answers if people have specific questions about how to write something so that it doesn't immediately disappear and the processes that are in place.
It took 2 or 3 days.
It took 3 days for it to disappear?
Yeah.
Wikipedia, on each day, there are probably about 2,000 attempts to create, no, I'm sorry, 5,000 attempts to create articles, 5,000 new articles per day on Wikipedia, of which fewer than 2,000 stick. So that kind of gives you the numbers that there's just teams of people on Wikipedia that all they do is look for people that are coming in and spamming. People creating articles about their used car dealership, and I've seen this happen. I've seen some guy from Texas who had like a pickup truck. He sold trucks, and he went in and he created an article about his pickup truck lot, and then he went to every single article about pickup trucks on Wikipedia and linked, to his. And this was his way. He felt that he was justified in trying to market his business that way. And so there are teams, sometimes almost gangs, of Wikipedia editors that are very anti-spam and are continually watching for this. So they're following along behind the guy and deleting all these spam links, deleting his used truck article. And because we have so many attempts at spam on Wikipedia, I mean thousands and thousands of attempts per day of spam on Wikipedia, there are people, they get almost into this whack-a-mole mindset. You know, they see it like delete, 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 delete. And as they're going through this delete, sometimes they're deleting good stuff. But it sets off a flag in their brain, and they delete, even if it maybe shouldn't have been, it should have had just a little, maybe 5 or 10 more seconds of someone looking at it. And so I'll be talking a little bit more about that to help you guys kind of understand what's going on behind the scenes there. So Wikipedia, for anyone that's not familiar with it, this is the main page of Wikipedia. There's always a featured article each day, and that featured article is one of the highest status things that can be done within the wiki culture. For someone to write an article, get it peer-reviewed, get it go through all the different pipelines of people reviewing it and checking the grammar and checking the links and making sure that all of the pictures have alt tags so that blind people can see, can read about what the picture says. I mean, it's a very elaborate process. And it can take, I mean, someone who's really, really good at it can do it maybe in a couple months, but some people it might take a year to get an article to featured status. And some editors within Wikipedia, if you look at their user pages where they brag about what they've done on Wikipedia, they'll brag about the number of edits, they'll brag about the number of articles they've created or expanded, but the number one thing that gives them status is how many featured articles they've done. They get a little star, literally a little gold star, and you can just see the gold stars. And anyone with even a single star has status within the community. And if you see someone with like 10 of these stars, it's huge status within the community. For myself, I have 2 featured articles, maybe 3, depending how you count them, and I have a couple more in the pipeline, and I've been doing this for 5 years. So it's a very, very difficult process. So each time you see one of those articles on the front page, featured article, there's a lot of work that went behind it. There will also be a news section on the right-hand side, and then there's the Did You Know section down here, and this is from Wikipedia's newest articles. And this is also something that has status. Someone who creates an article and brings it up to a minimal level of quality within the first week, where it has basic information, it has citations, maybe there's a picture on it, and it has some sort of a tagline that would be interesting to show up in the Did You Know part of the main page. It's called the DYK. So some people will go around what's called collecting DYKs. I've done 100 DYKs, which didn't just mean that they created a 2-line article, but they created something long enough that it has a little meat to it, has the hook, has the sources to it. So that, again, is a status symbol there. Now, along with the actual articles, each article is also paired with a discussion page. And these discussion pages, editors will come in and they'll create a section title, and then they might say something about, this is attracting links to advertising sites, and then they sign it. So this will be the name of the editor and the time and date that they actually posted this, and then someone else will indent and post something. And so they're using the Wikipedia mechanics. It runs on an engine called MediaWiki. And so they'll be using the MediaWiki mechanics to have these discussions. And some of these discussions have been going on for years. Sometimes it's a polite civil discussion. How do we handle this? I think we should do it this way. Okay, and it's gone. And sometimes these discussions go on for pages and pages and pages with never any resolution coming. A common misconception about Wikipedia is that when there's a dispute on something, that it might be like in a university where a senior professor will come along and say, okay, you want the article this way, you want the article that way, but it should really be this way because that's what the academic sources say. That's not how Wikipedia works at all. Wikipedia, whenever there's a dispute, the expectation that it is going to be resolved by consensus. I call this the pizza principle, which is sort of like you have a bunch of people get together and they want to order a pizza, and some people want mushroom and some want sausage, and they could sit and argue over it all day, and then they'll say, okay, let's get a pizza. Half will be mushroom, half will be sausage, you know, and life goes on. And the vast majority of Wikipedia articles that have been under a dispute, that is how the dispute is resolved. To not decide the dispute, but to describe a dispute. So if there are, you know, so many people that say theory A is correct and another group that say theory B is correct, rather than arguing that the article should say A or B, even though one group says A is the truth, B is idiocy, if there's a lot of people who want B in there and they have sources to back up what they're trying to say, then the article will say A is the scientific consensus, however there are many people who believe B. And then they'll list the sources for that. So, and I personally agree with this philosophy because it serves our reader better. The reader will come in not being told this is the truth, this is not the truth, but the reader will be able to come in and see an article and understand that there's a dispute about it and read both sides of the dispute and then be able to make up their own mind about how they want to believe this and where they can go to get more information on it. Now, Wikipedia is not perfect. There's plenty of times you can go to an article and you can go, that's not true, that's not true, that's not true, all the way down the line. And that happens as well, in which case, come on in, fix the article, change it, yeah. Modify it. It's the encyclopedia that anyone can edit. Now, any article that's there, we can see exactly who's editing it. So you can look at any article, you can go into the history, and you can see every single change that was made to the article, when it was made, who made the change, and we can click on these little links, current and last. And last will show us the last change that was made to this article and show us the difference, exactly what was modified. Or we can say current, we can show from this point down, you know, these 20 edits show me all of the differences that were made to the article within this batch of edits. And then we can go in and we can actually see, okay, so at 11:43, this was the state of the article when he was done editing, and then someone else came along. And he was nice. He put an edit summary saying what he was changing, and we can see the exact specific thing. So some of the people that come in and vandalize Wikipedia, and Wikipedia is vandalized like every few seconds. It's a constant, it's a huge, turbulent environment. And some people think they're going to be clever and vandalized by going to this article that nobody ever reads, and they'll just change one punctuation mark and no one will ever see it. But that's not true, because every single change is easily viewable, and there are people who will do that. They will just scan every single change, second by second, that was done, looking for vandalism. If they see it, boom, delete it, and then go on, look, and it becomes like a game, again, like this whack-a-mole game. So a couple numbers about Wikipedia. It's one of the ten most visited sites in the world. In the United States, 1/3 of the people on the internet have consulted Wikipedia. On any given day of the entire internet, 8% of the people on the internet are visiting Wikipedia. In the English version alone, just the English version, we've passed 3.3 million articles. And if you're looking at all the different languages, there's over 200 different languages going on. It's over 16 million articles. If we were to compare this to actual books in a library, it wouldn't be like the entire Library of Congress. It would sort of be like standing in one aisle and seeing several full bookshelf stacks going down. I think this picture is maybe about a year out of date, so like add one more set of shelves for if we were to take everything on the English Wikipedia and actually print it into volumes.
Excuse me, is there any way you can like download the current state of Wikipedia and gigabytes of data?
Yep. It's all free. Anyone who wants can just download the entire database, including all of the articles and all of the changes that have been made to all of the articles.
All right.
And there are also some organizations that are trying to print in actual books. So you can like get a book that might be like French history, and it'll have all the articles about French history printed in a book that you can just have and take home and read,
absolutely,
you know, in bed or something like that. Okay, yes.
Did you want to touch on if you cite an article that you can get the specific instance of it as part of your citation? There's a link on there to do that. Mm-hmm.
I don't have a slide on that in this particular presentation, but there is definitely that if you do cite an article, if you're writing something and you're citing Wikipedia, you can click on a link that allows you to cite not the article, but the article as it was at a particular moment in time. And so you can get a link specifically to that, which is a much better way to cite Wikipedia than to just say the article, because the articles are, it's water, that it's flowing. Yeah, very fluid. A number of articles, again, this is on the English version of Wikipedia, kind of showing the growth curve on that. It's flattening out just a little bit, and some people are saying, oh, it means Wikipedia is dying, or like, no, I think it's still growing pretty well. But there's definitely areas of the project that are better represented than other areas of the project. The project covers very well computer games, it covers popular culture very well, television programs very well, medieval Turkish history, a little weak. But there are people who just love different sections of history, and so you'll find people that are just passionate about the Crusades, or passionate about early Christian history in Turkey. And sometimes you'll just have a couple people there working calmly, and then you'll have someone coming in who maybe doesn't know as much about the subject as maybe they should, and so they might try dropping in some unusual ideas, and then you start getting some conflict coming up. And I'll talk a little bit more about the conflict. If you want to drill down and get even more information, there's articles. This is a website called stats.grok.se, and you can type in any article name on Wikipedia, and it'll show you how many people are visiting it per day. In this particular case, we're looking at the stats for the article Jerusalem, and on average, it's getting about 3,000 to 4,000 visitors per day. So these, and articles about political topics are especially hot button issues on Wikipedia, both because they're about controversial subjects, and also because even though there are hundreds of different language versions of Wikipedia around, the English version is seen as the central version. So for the article about Jerusalem, we'll have say Israeli editors coming in and wanting to edit it based on the Israeli point of view, and we'll have Palestinian editors coming in and wanting to edit it on the Palestinian point of view. And so they'll change it to say so-and-so, and this is happening in Samaria. And then another group of editors will come in and say, Samaria, that's not a term that we approve of. And they'll remove the word Samaria from the article, and then they'll come in, add the article, add the word, remove the word, add the word, remove the word. We call this an edit war. And we do have some rules to deal with it. If someone is changing an article so that they're adding information, adding a source, changing the way something sounds, that's a valid edit. But if they're just coming in to change what someone else just added and revert it to an earlier version, we call that a revert. And so if they revert, and there's something called the three revert rule. And anyone that reverts a single article more than three times in a 24-hour period, boom, is blocked off the site. For an initial offense, they might be blocked off the site for a few hours, 24 hours. If they keep doing, and sometimes we'll let them back in and they'll go right back to revert war, it can expand to weeks, months, or even permanently banned from Wikipedia. So if anyone does want to change Wikipedia, the first rule is don't worry about the disputes, don't worry about the ethnic areas of conflict, just be bold. WP Bold is a page on Wikipedia called Be Bold. Just be bold, make a change. Wikipedia runs on a principle of we do assume good faith. So if you see something needs to be changed and you're confident you're acting in good faith, go in and make the change. Worst that's going to happen is you're going to be reverted, and then you can kind of go through it. Yes, question.
Just wondering if you had a guesstimate on the number of people that are permanently banned from Wikipedia?
Guesstimate on the number of people that are currently banned. And banned is an interesting term because banned can mean different things in different contexts. A ban could mean a community ban, it could mean an administrator ban, it could mean a ban from editing in a certain topic area. Like you're allowed, we have 3.3 million articles, you can edit 3.299 million, this one article, no. You're never allowed to edit this article again. I'm not certain of total people banned. I'm guessing a couple hundred that have been banned for really complex reasons. And then there are going to be thousands and thousands that are just banned very rapidly. Someone comes in, they've never made a constructive edit. The first thing they do is they zoom to, it's usually like an article about a high school. We can tell it's a high school student. So they run to the high school article and say, this school sucks, right? We're not gonna give them a warning process. We're just, boom, they're gone, they're locked out. Or if they come in and they think they're being clever, they come in on an anonymous IP because you don't have to have an account to edit on Wikipedia. So if they come in on an IP and they change it to this school sucks, we can just trace the IP and we can say, oh, it came from this school. We contact the school's IP department and we say, hey, you need to watch the kids in the library a little bit more. And then it'll depend on the school. Maybe the school will go in and we'll suddenly see these IPs stop vandalizing, or maybe we'll just block anything from this IP or block anything from a certain range of IPs. When we talk about the word ban, and that's why I was saying there's different terms of the word ban, ban is more for people that are more ambiguous. They make constructive edits. They do good things, but then they also do some crazy things. And we want to keep the good and keep them away from the crazy, and so we'll try and maybe set up traffic cones saying, okay, try and don't edit Israel-Palestine articles, but it's okay to edit other articles, or you really shouldn't be editing articles on chiropractic, you know, stick to other parts of the biological sciences, and it's a complex problem. Okay. Yes.
Do you allow edits from Tor? If
Tor
they come
nodes.
In through Tor?
Tor nodes. We try not to. Yeah, it's the whole idea of Tor nodes and proxies, and if someone is just coming in and making constructive edits, it's probably not going to be a problem, but there are certain nodes that we know that 90% of the edits that come in from them are going to be vandalistic edits, and we do our best to just block access from those. But I'm not an expert on the Tor policies of Wikipedia. Okay. Going back to here on the dispute resolution, if you just want to make an edit, do so. If there's a disagreement, the first thing to do is to go to that discussion page I was talking about and say, hey, you know, I posted that this building is red and somebody deleted it and said that the building is really green. What's going on? And someone else may come in and say, well, red's a stupid color. And you know, or you may have someone say, oh, well, you posted it's red and it was red in 2002, but it's been repainted in 2005. And you go, oh, okay. And so you've resolved the dispute and you move on. But if they continue to say it's green and you show them a picture saying, no, the building's red. See, here's a picture. Yeah. The building's red. And they'll say, what's your source? And you'll say, well, I got this picture. And they'll say, that's not a reliable source. And Wikipedia runs on reliable sources. And a reliable source is not a picture that you've taken or someone's blog. A reliable source is something that has been published in some sort of a reliable news media. And people ask me questions about this. Like here at DragonCon, say we had a UFO, aliens, come in, land outside on Cortlandt Street. We had thousands of people seeing them, pictures going everywhere, blogs everywhere. We go to Wikipedia and say, UFOs landed in Atlanta, it would be deleted, you know? No reliable sources, because it hasn't been published. Now, as soon as there was an article about it in the Atlantic Journal-Constitution, Time Magazine, CNN, any of those, then we could have an article on Wikipedia. So Wikipedia is best thought of as a summary service, not as a news service. It's not to announce new information or what's called original research. It's to summarize information that has already been published somewhere else. And that's one of the hardest things to grasp, but it's a very important concept. Yes, you have a question?
I have a really hard time with that.
Yeah.
It's like August Dvorak. There's an article on August Dvorak. He's a submarine captain. Mm-hmm. He was a researcher, a psychologist, a teacher at the University of Washington. He invented the Dvorak keyboard layout, blah, blah, blah. And then there's a discussion page on how to pronounce his last name.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up next door to him. Does it matter?
Well,
no. I see he pronounces his name Dvorak, not Dvorak.
Mm-hmm.
And people say, no, delete.
Okay, so the thing to do there is to try and find someone who's a reporter and get them to write an article about it. Say, this guy's name was pronounced da-da-da-da-da. And then you can cite that as a source in the Wikipedia article. And now Dvorak, I mean, he's when did he die?
70s.
Okay, yeah, it's... And there's also different ways of handling things depending on if we have a biography on someone who's no longer living or someone who's living. There's a very important, it's one of the most important policies on Wikipedia. It's called BLP, Biographies of Living People. And because it's so easy for some movie star to do something and, you know, they weren't wearing underwear or whatever, and it, boom, you know, it shows up on Wikipedia. And even if this was covered in the news, you know, Wikipedia is like, just because it was covered in the news doesn't necessarily mean it needs to be on Wikipedia. Some of this is just salacious information. So we try to make sure that any biographies of living people have a higher level of sourcing, except if we're dealing with the subject themselves. So if we have an article on, say, you know, Dvorak Jr., and it says he was born in 1947, and Dvorak Jr. comes in and says, I wasn't born in 47, I was born in 49. Why does the... He's allowed to just go in and change it and fix it. However, if Time Magazine, CNN, Washington Post, New York Times all say that this guy was born in 47, and he's saying, well, no, I'm really 2 years younger, then we're going to have some trouble there. And that's going to start to become a really complex conflict, because he's going to be claiming a certain birthday, but we're going to have multiple reliable sources saying a different birthday. So he's going to maybe need to set things straight with the New York Times, the Washington Post, and Time Magazine, get them to post a retraction before the Wikipedia article can reflect what's going on.
Could
question behind
you. Just upload. Well, could he not just get a birth certificate from the county records place and have them count as a reliable source?
The birth certificates. There's three kinds of sources. There's primary, secondary, and tertiary sources. A birth certificate is something that's called a primary source. And so if he had a birth certificate, it would have to be like a notarized birth certificate. And what he might do in that case is he might send it actually to the people that run Wikipedia, the Wikimedia Foundation, and say, look, I was born in 47. And then the foundation might go and make a command decision saying we're changing his birthday to 1947 or 1949 or whatever it was. But a better course of action for him would be to go to the New York Times, Time Magazine, because if the New York Times is publishing an incorrect birth year, that's a big embarrassment for the New York Times. So they would probably post a correction pretty fast. But as a Wikipedia editor, if I was an administrator dealing with the dispute and I was dealing with a guy saying, my birthday's 49, and New York Times is saying 47, and he's saying, but here's my birth certificate, I'm asking him, why are you showing the birth certificate to me, a volunteer administrator on Wikipedia, as opposed to showing it to New York Times? And so there's going to be questions and red flags that are going on in my head. Yes?
Yeah, you kind of answered my question before about as far as I was wondering about how do you determine a valid source. You were talking about mainly, you know, published journalists and such. Mm-hmm. But going back to your house color analogy, would something along the lines of like a street view mm-hmm. be considered a reliable source?
Like a photograph of someone through their window?
From street view. You know, like from Google Street View.
Oh, Google Street View.
Something like that.
Again, that would be a primary source. To be a reliable... It would have to be what's called a reliable secondary source. Now, I also have to distinguish between an article that is not in dispute and an article that is in dispute. An article that is not in dispute, people may put up primary sources and say, here's a picture of a statue that's outside my house. And if nobody's challenging it, it's probably not going to be a problem. Primary sources may even be allowed. As soon as someone comes in and says, that statue's not there, it's in a different city, then the sourcing requirements start becoming more stringent. So a secondary source is something that has, it's a published source, something that a reasonably diligent editor can get their hands on through interlibrary loan or through searching some of the major library databases from a source that has a reasonable reputation for fact-checking and accuracy. So if it's UFOsRus.com, even though it's a published site on the web, we would not call that a reliable source because it doesn't necessarily have that reputation for fact-checking and accuracy. The best kind of source is an academic article published in a peer-reviewed academic journal, not just a journal, but a peer-reviewed academic journal that cites its own sources, so you can kind of and those sources are reliable sources, and that if that article that has been published in this peer-reviewed academic journal is the kind of article that has been referred to by other reliable sources, I mean, that's like an unimpeachable source. That's perfect, but we don't always have those for every single kind of topic that's on Wikipedia.
So theoretically, I could get two large magazines or newspapers to publish a hoax, and I could get it on Wikipedia quite easily.
Like New York Times, Washington Post?
Time and Newsweek and the Wall Street Journal.
If you could get them to all agree on something, you could absolutely get it on Wikipedia. And it would last for a little while. And then probably other sources would be coming up and saying, busted. And then those sources would start getting cited on Wikipedia and the article would morph and change. One of the most fascinating processes on Wikipedia is when there's a major current event going on, like when Michael Jackson died. And the internet basically came down and Wikipedia kind of crashed because there's all these people rushing there and people are adding information, and it's an amazing thing to watch. When there was the Missouri earthquake a couple years ago, I was actually the editor that went in and added list of earthquakes, because I just felt it, you know. So I sort of heard on the radio, and so I sort of cited that as a source. But then over the next 24 to 48 hours, it got fleshed out more. CNN was doing something on it, different news sources. And then a few months later, you know, you've got the Geologic Service and their studies on what's going on. And so the article kind of grows and expands from a stub into something really amazing and informational. And it's just an amazing thing to watch when Wikipedia is working right. In some cases, information shows up on Wikipedia before it shows up on television news. There's been cases of movie stars or sports figures, like there was a wrestler who I think he killed his wife and then he killed himself, and the news of his death appeared on Wikipedia before the police had even removed the body from the home. Now, there's also a lot of fraud that goes on. There's constantly people that will go to biographies and say so-and-so died when they didn't die, and that information gets removed very rapidly. But it's an interesting process. Question in the back.
A lot of the examples you use are, you know, Michael Jackson and major earthquakes. And would you consider Wikipedia a news summary source, or is it encyclopedic source?
Yeah.
The goal of Wikipedia is to be the sum of human knowledge, and encyclopedia is really its goal, but it often acts as a news source, but that's not its primary goal. People will write about what interests them, and Wikipedia is written by volunteers. There are not paid editors, and these volunteers will often be very interested in what's going on in current events, what's going on in popular culture, and that's why those articles are getting really good representation on Wikipedia. There's been some attempt to kind of direct what people are writing about. There will be these things like article collaboration of the week, article collaboration of the day, to try and say, okay, we've got articles on all these computer games, but the article on Venus, not so much. Let's, you know, put more energy into that. And there's some success at it, but there's a limit to how much that can be done and the people that are actually going to spend time on it. Like, I'm currently trying to do a push for the article on the Mongol Empire. And there are many disputes, and one of the key elements is the size of the Mongol Empire, or was it the largest empire in the world? And there will be a lot of attention on that, and there will be edit wars, it was, it wasn't, and what are the sources? And I say, well, okay, but what about all this other stuff about the Mongol Empire? Why don't we improve this article, get it up to featured status? And I have several people saying, yeah, great idea, but nobody's doing the work. It's sort of like the chicken and you know, the sky is falling and who's building the cakes and who's actually going to do the work to improve the article.
So what happens, or how does something that is all encompassing, you know, that would be in an encyclopedia, for instance, artistic sources, how would somebody who is you know, dedicated a lifetime to their art and has a real body of work. Mm-hmm. But they're not famous. They weren't ever in the New York Times or mm-hmm. you know. How do you get an article on Wikipedia for somebody who's not famous?
Right.
I understand, you know, you can't go in and write it. I can't go in and write an article about myself mm-hmm. so that, hey, I've got a Wikipedia article because mm-hmm. I didn't do anything. Right. But the people who do have significant bodies of work mm-hmm. or a lifetime achievement of work, but they're not famous, mm-hmm. you know, how do they get on there?
Yeah, I deal with this quite a bit. The key is really the word significant. And there are many people who do wonderful work and have amassed a large body of work, but they're not very well known personally. And sometimes it is kind of sad that I've seen people who have been significant in affecting human culture, but the world is generally not aware of it. And all I can really say is that Wikipedia is really not the place to break the news about these people. The best way to do it usually is to find a local newspaper. So wherever this artist, say, I don't know, but say that they live in Melbourne, Florida, say. And there's probably a local newspaper in Melbourne, and contact them and say, hey, did you know that right here in this city we have someone who did da-da-da-da-da-da? And they will probably write an article about it as a local interest article. And then maybe that article will get picked up by larger papers. And then you have sources, and then you can go back to the Wikipedia article. But you shouldn't. But it starting with Wikipedia is a bad idea, because if someone tries to create an article and it gets challenged, the first question is going to be, what are the sources? And if there are no sources, the article will get deleted. Absolutely, 100%. If it's noticed. I've seen articles that didn't get noticed and have stayed for years, but as soon as it's noticed, it's gone.
I mean, you see, the catch-22 is that you said yourself, you know, 4,000 hits a day on
4,000 hits a day on Jerusalem, and you know, how many people go to Wikipedia's, what did you say, 8% of the internet hits a day or a week or whatever mm-hmm. it was. Everybody's going there. You know, I go to Wikipedia for anything I have a question mm-hmm. for, if it's just simple,
right.
You know. That's kind of the catch-22. That is the source for so many people now.
Right, and it's some people do see Wikipedia as it should be the central source for information about all kinds of people, but the culture around Wikipedia is so anti-spam and so anti-self-promotion that they often end up deleting articles about perfectly notable people. One of the topics I write about is about magicians. And magicians, it's very difficult because they have a very secretive brotherhood in the world, and they tend not to write about what they do because they don't want to be revealing their tricks, but they'll have conventions. And say at one of the major conventions, Abbots get together, a Midwest Magic Jubilee or something, and they'll have an award show, and they might have so-and-so has just won the you know, the grand prize, the international world prize for magicianhood, and I'll go to Wikipedia and I'll try to create an article about this person, but I don't really have any other sources than the very private magician press. And it's very difficult to make these articles stick, even though someone has won these major awards. Another issue has to do with Olympic athletes. It's very common for people to win gold medals in very obscure sports, and no one really writes about them. Or today, there's going to be a little bit more press, but if, say, you're looking at the 1932 Olympics, I think it was 1932, and someone who won a gold medal in archery, and maybe all that's known is, you know, so-and-so from Bavaria won a gold medal in archery, and there's been a debate about should they have a Wikipedia article, because there's nothing written about them, at least nothing in English. There might have been some local Bavarian press at the time. And the consensus among the Wikipedia editors is that an Olympic medal in itself implies notability. And so we try to have articles about every single person that's ever won an Olympic medal of any type, even if we don't have any other sources than the Olympics website saying, right. Look, they won a medal in this year, and we know nothing yet. We don't know their birth year. We don't know what else they did. We just know that they won a medal. So it really depends, but in general, it comes down to sources.
Yeah.
Yellow shirt, yeah.
Well, what about, you know, there's articles in there that are about fictional items that, like, there isn't anything more written about. For instance, what I'm thinking about is in Hornblower. They talk in this Hornblower books. He sails a particular boat, and there's an article on that ship. And it describes the ship
as much as it is described in the book. And then there's a note saying, this is pretty scanty information. We're going to delete this if you don't add more information. And it's like, no. It's like, and like the reason that it's there is that somebody linked to, you know, put a link, and it was a, you know, a red link because mm-hmm. there was no article. So I clicked on it and I said, okay, I'll write everything that's known about this fictional boat. How can we like not get that deleted? Because okay. there just isn't more information.
I'll tell you. And again, this is a very, very common problem on Wikipedia, like Pokemon. We had articles on every single different kind of Pokemon, but didn't have articles on every prime minister, you know, from the UK. Some of these policies are developed by consensus among the Wikipedia community, and the consensus is that fictional topics, though they are very easy to cover because you have fictional sources, that Wikipedia's goal is not to put everything about what's called the in-universe description of these things. But
the what universe?
In-universe, in-universe.
Ah.
And so, you know, going about the Enterprise, and I can say Star Trek Enterprise, and it had the following captains, and it had the following call signs, and these were the various places where the crew went on shore leave. And this is all in-universe stuff. But what the Wikipedia article should be about is how has the Enterprise affected real-life culture. You know, that there are Star Trek cons going on, that the Enterprise was designed by such and such people, the writers who designed it. Here are the blueprints of it. Here's the amount of money that is made from the collectibles on it. And then it starts becoming more of an encyclopedic topic than just in-universe. So for the ship that you're talking about, that's what I would do, is I would look at, has it had any impact on the real world? And if it's as exciting a topic as it sounds like from what you're talking about, there should be something. Has it been merchandised? Who created the ship? Who wrote about it? are there fans who create costumes based on it? What is the impact that it has on the real world? And if you can find that, then the article will stick. But if all you've got is in-universe, what will probably happen is the article about the ship will be condensed to maybe one paragraph that is going to be moved to a larger article, which is about that particular fictional universe.
Got it.
Okay.
You said you cannot create an article about yourself.
But people do all the time. But yeah.
if you were notable under Wikipedia's guidelines, and there was no article created about yourself, and there were multiple sources to cite about mm-hmm. yourself, could you then create the article about yourself, or would you have to ask a friend to do it for you?
It happens a lot. And theoretically, you could go in and you could create the article about yourself, and you could write it, and you could cite sources. In actual practice, as soon as one of the anti-spam folks saw that an article was being edited by someone with the same name, they're going to nominate it for deletion. Boom. Just on general principles. And having an article, and I've gone through this process where there, and I hadn't written it, but there was an article about me on Wikipedia. And then I was doing something else on Wikipedia. There was a debate about an article about a dancer. And someone said, this article should be deleted. And I said, no, I think that article is worth keeping. These AFDs, article for deletion discussions, happen all the time. And I said, no, I think it should stay. And this guy was horrified that I was disagreeing with him. And he looked at me, and then he looked at everything I'd edited, and he found out there was an article about me, and he went and nominated my article for deletion as retaliation for me disagreeing with him on this completely different section. And then it was really a blood-curdling experience, because then suddenly there's this huge debate where this guy was on the phone to all his friends saying, I hate this person, and she's a spammer, and we have to get rid of her. And all of his friends were jumping into the discussion about the article about me, saying, This woman isn't notable, blah, 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 blah. And then other people were coming up, well, no, there's articles about her here, 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 and here, and there's sources and everything. And I wanted to jump in there. I wanted to argue with every single thing that was said. But I had other more experienced Wikipedians saying, you know, stay out, because everything you say will just add to the fire. So I just, like, gritted my teeth and clenched my fists and watched this discussion. It's all public record. You can go in there and look and see the thing. Oh, she's not really a cryptographer. She's never really written a book. Like, but what? No, why? Yeah, I mean, they just, the stuff they say is mind-boggling. So if someone is in that situation of where they have reliable sources, the best thing to do is either to ask someone else to write the article, or to write the article in what's called a sandbox area. So it's not in the main article space, it's often what's called user space. Write the article and then ask another Wikipedian to move that article into main article space. And I will say, in defense of the spam police, that it is very, very difficult to write an article about oneself in a third-person neutral point of view. And anyone here who is an author or an artist who's ever had to write your own bio for a convention, yeah, and it's like you have to, like, you know, toot your horn and say this, and you know, went to there, and you have 20,000 sales. And that's a method of writing for a convention, but for Wikipedia, absolutely not. You're not supposed to toot your horn. Everything's supposed to be very dry and neutral and like a deposition kind of thing. And it's very difficult to write about oneself. I can read an article and I can tell within probably 30 seconds if it was written by that person, no matter how good an editor they are, because they'll put in things like, and is currently living in New Jersey with their wife and two dogs. You know, that's the kind of thing that someone will write about themselves, not something that a third party will write when they're writing a biography. As soon as there's a mention of kids or grandchildren or pets, I know it was somebody self-wrote their own bio. Okay, any questions so far? All right. Let me finish the slide, and we'll go on to the next question. So, in disagreements, taking it to the talk page, try to find the consensus. If there continues to be a dispute with this red house, green house thing, the best thing is to try and get other editors to come in and offer opinions and try to get more voices into the mix. That's usually the easiest way to resolve things. There are dispute resolution notice boards. If that's not helping, you can file a formal request for comment. And again, it just widens the net. But there's so many things going on Wikipedia, sometimes it's very difficult to get more voices into the mix. You can request mediation, and if all else fails, you can request arbitration, which is a group of editors in Wikipedia that have been elected to those positions. It's about 12 people. And they have the authority within the culture to review a situation. They don't decide on article content. They only decide user conduct. So they will not say the article should say this or should say that. They will say you five editors are allowed to keep editing, you are not. And often just removing that one editor from the mix allows the five that are there and who are willing to discuss towards compromise, discuss and try and find a consensus to stabilize the article. Often, not always. Right. I just told you about that. I told you about the Three Revert War and Arbitration Committee. They burn out a lot. It's very time intensive. This was a snapshot of the arbitration cases at a certain point in time. Articles that were being debated at the time, and again, they weren't debating the content of the article, but the behavior of the editors who were working on that article. So there's one on Macedonia, the Tang Dynasty, Scientology, the West Bank, Judea and Samaria, Scientology. So, yeah, and dealing with religious cults is a really difficult problem on Wikipedia, because trying to come up with an article and trying to get the article stable is one thing, but sometimes you'll have cult members who they'll set up like 24/7 teams that just sit and watch the article and hit refresh over and over to see if the article has been changed to something that disagrees with their belief system so they can change it back. And so you can have a reasonable editor that's coming in there and saying, well, no, Scientology is not the largest religion in the world, and they'll change it, and then boom, within seconds, it's changed back. And it's possible to go through these dispute resolution processes with requesting comments from other editors and going to mediation and arbitration, requests for comment, all these things, and then it can all be done, and then the cult members are back. And it takes so much time and energy for a sane editor to deal with the cult editors that often they'll just say it's not worth the time. And so any article you're reading on Wikipedia about a cult or anything that has those really passionate people working on it, take it with a grain of salt, because there may be people trying to fix it, and it's just not worth their hour time to constantly be arguing with these cult members. There's other things we want to be working on. Question? Okay, sorry, in the back, and then. And
all right, I'll try to be quick. And this relates really to the question this other gentleman had about an artist, say they have some local talent or following.
Mm-hmm.
As an archival of future knowledge, as future events develop that will eventually someday become recorded on Wikipedia, do y'all get concerned at all about the lack of original sourcing that may be available as news organizations like Connect continue to close newspapers, and as how news itself becomes something that's propagated more by individuals on the web and that type of thing?
Can you... repeat the question. I'm not entirely sure I'm following you.
Well, just, you know, for example, newspapers are disappearing.
Right.
Local newspapers, it becomes more of a national media sourced from, you know, the AP or, mm-hmm. or Rutgers or Reuters or whatever. But at some point, you know, looking at trending, the number of legitimate news sources is becoming, in my opinion, more limited.
Right.
So in the future, in 10 years from now, you know, where will that resource be for y'all to say, yep, this is true, that happens?
Okay, okay. Well, first of all, if... good question. Thank you. The... sources that disappear, I'm not concerned about, because a source does not need to be an active source in order to be citable. We routinely will cite newspapers that were only published from like 1920 to 1930. And as long as it's something that someone can go into a library and verify that that source did exist, that it did say whatever it said. In terms of in the future reliable sources, you know, just looking at academic journals, Wikipedia, we're trying to just create articles about every academic journal. And there are so many academic journals, we're continually behind. New academic journals are being created all the time. Now, in terms of popular culture news sources, I go to news.google.com, and there are so many wonderful sources there. I don't really see it personally as an issue that we're going to lose news sources. I think there's always going to be stuff that can be used. Is that sort of what you asked?
It's projecting the future and what's going to happen. I don't agree with having less.
Yeah. Now, I mean, there are interesting debates like, okay, CNN, reliable source, Fox News, you know, and so then we'll get some debates about, is a news source neutral enough in order to be cited? If there's things that are cited and there's only one news source that is saying something, then Wikipedia, there may be reactions on that saying, Fox News is the only one that's saying this. You know, should we even cover it if none of the other news sources are covering it? So that does become a debate sometimes. So here, I'm in the
bottom. As religion is a hot button issue, politics, as you said, are hot button issues as well. Do you have governmental agencies trying to edit Wikipedia pages as well, doing the same sort of censoring that you're talking about, watching them 24 hours a day, changing them back, as soon as the White House, you know, whatever? Is that a common problem as well?
No, not at all. there were issues actually with people from Congress, especially during an election year. It happens quite frequently. And there were problems because there were congressional aides that were coming in and were editing articles about their Congress critter's opponent. And because they were what we saw as vandalizing articles, and we blocked, and we ended up accidentally blocking all of Congress. No one from Congress. So when we, as an administrator, block someone, we have this thing about the following IPs are from Congress, please use care, you know, making sure that if you're blocking, you're only blocking like for a temporary period. You're not just doing a huge range block and blocking everybody at once. And it happens with countries as well. Sometimes we've blocked a vandal from a certain area of the world, where when we block their IP, we ended up blocking the entire country, because the country has a very, very small amount of bandwidth that's available. So we have to kind of be aware of these things. There was an issue with England where one of their major, I think it was British Telecom or something, and where all of the traffic to Wikipedia was coming through like this one IP from England. And so we blocked a vandal, and suddenly, you know, half of the UK couldn't get to Wikipedia at all, which was that was a fun time. That was a fun time.
Yeah. I need to clarify a little bit more what you consider or Wikipedia considers authoritative. I know this outfit that does a magazine. Mm-hmm. In the magazine, they publish material which is available nowhere else. Can they then reference their own magazine to place their articles into Wikipedia?
Really good question, and the answer is it depends. Especially as I was talking about with the magicians, where the articles about magicians tend to be in small thing like the Linking Ring and other articles that are specifically about the magician community. And in general, it's okay to cite them until a conflict comes up. So if I've written about a magician and he's done this and this and he's performed before the Queen of England and he's done all these things and everything I'm citing is from this article, and someone else comes along and says, hey, wait a minute, he wrote that article about himself, you know, in that magazine, and then the sourcing, the requirement of sourcing is going to rise a bit, and we're going to start removing what's called questionable claims, red flag claims, claims of... you know, where someone seems to be putting on more errors than they might, and if all we have is that local magazine, we might not use that magazine. And we have an entire notice board, which we call RSN. There's acronyms all around Wikipedia. And WPRSN is the Reliable Source Notice Board. So if there's a source where there's a question about whether or not the information in that source is generally reliable, it's brought up at the RSN, and editors will debate it. And if the general consensus is that, no, this is not a reliable source, this source tends to publish faith-healing remedies or something, and we'll say the source has now dropped from a secondary source to a primary source. You can use it to say, so-and-so said da-da-da-da-da-da-da in this source, but you cannot use it as a secondary source to make larger claims. And like a really interesting case on this was we had an academic who was a reliable source. He was a professor at a university. He had been published in multiple peer-reviewed academic journals and was seen as a reliable source. And then he posted an opinion piece in this other magazine where he was saying stuff that was kind of pseudoscientific. Well, he believed that aliens had blah, 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 blah. And so then there was a real interesting discussion on Wikipedia that this professor was a good source, had reliable source, peer-reviewed sources. Could we quote him as saying that UFOs were real because he'd also written course of the debate was that, no, that was a primary source, not a secondary source, even though the professor could be used as a secondary source for many other areas on Wikipedia. Right.
I had a question about stub articles specifically.
Stubs. Okay.
Yeah. I'm an English major, and there's many a time at 3 a.m. where I have brain farts, and I'm like, oh God, what's a caesura again? And you know, look it up on Wikipedia, and it gives me the information I need. Mm-hmm. It's a break in lines. And then it says this article is a stub. Mm-hmm. And at some point, where is the point where, quite frankly, it's a definition. That's all it is. And if I want more, I can go to the poetry terminology page or the page on poetry and the concepts thereof. But for just a definition of the line, where is, like, I don't see what else there is to add to the article. And my question is, if it's under a certain word limit, does it have the stub notification, or does it have to be specifically flagged by an editor to say, we want more information on this?
Okay. When someone creates a new article, two or three lines, and often what will happen is, say I'm working on medieval Palestinian history, and I've created an article and I'm linking to other things. I'm linking to Byzantine emperors, and I'm linking to the Mongol wives of different things. And I know that these places are going to be worthy of articles someday, but right now it's just a red link. It doesn't link to anything. So I go in there and I say, okay, Hulagu's son was Hulagu Jr., and I put there, and I put one source to say this is a real thing. I put a stub tag on it. So that maybe later someone else will go in and expand it. Now sometimes what happens is people go in, they expand it, and it's still got the stub tag on it. Pull the tag. it's just an oversight. Someone didn't pull the tag. It's very rare that you'll pull a tag and someone else will say, no, this is still a stub, and they'll put the tag back on. Now if you see an article, another case is where you might have a really well fleshed out article about some topic that's covering a completely peripheral aspect of it. For example, I'm trying to come up with a good example, say Marco Polo. And someone has this huge article about Marco Polo's trip to bring a Mongol princess back to Europe or Asia. And the article is all about that, but isn't covering anything else Marco Polo did. It's kind of like, oh yeah, he traveled. Okay, so the article wouldn't really be a stub, but what you could do is you could put a tag on it saying, expand, or expand section, saying this section really needs more info. It's really not well covered yet.
Okay.
Yeah.
I have a question about
links for the sources, and you kind of alluded to it earlier. I mean, a lot of times using Wikipedia as a starting point for research, and I'll find that the links will be dead, you know, whether it's that the news article, you know, they don't have all their archive online, or it's behind a paywall. I mean, is that a concern, or how does that, you know, is it just that, well, at one point in time that article was there, so then it's okay, or?
Yeah, and I call it web rot. You know, you link to something that looks like a perfectly good article, and then you come back 6 months later and it's 404 not found. The rule of thumb is that something can be used as a source even if it is not online, as long as it is a reliable source. But it needs to be an accessible source. So if it's not online anymore, it should still be something that someone could go to, like a major university research library, and find the hard copy of it. New York, or if not a university research library, the New York Public Library, or something that you could request via interlibrary loan. If the source was a pamphlet that's locked in a safe that only five people have access to, even if it was a reliable source at the time, it's going to be tough to use that source, and it's probably going to get the thumbs down. If it's challenged, it's probably going to get the thumbs down because it's not an accessible source. And the question is also going to be asked, saying, okay, well, the information may be reliable, it may have been cited, but only this one source is saying it. No other sources have said it. If the information is being challenged and the only source is accessible to five people, we have to wonder, maybe somebody made a mistake. Maybe, and I've seen this happen, where a historian will write something and they'll say, yes, and there was a treaty signed between King A and King B. And then I'll have someone come in, oh, look, there was a treaty, da da da. And I'm like, there's no such treaty. I know everything about that century, and I can name every noble and their wives and their kids. There's no such treaty. In fact, the person that you're saying signed it never signed treaty. They were a general. They weren't in charge of signing treaties. They were in charge of battling. And the guy's saying, no, but I have this source. And then the requirement for sources is going to be more than one source, multiple reliable sources, not just a single reliable source, in order to weight it down. Wikipedia will go into something which is called NPOV, neutral point of view, and undue weight. And to say that if there are 20 sources that say X and one source that says Y, that does not mean that the Wikipedia article needs to be 50-50. It needs to, the Wikipedia article is going to talk about the academic consensus, and if there is a predominant minority view, it can be covered, but it should be expressed as a minority view. A big place to see this is like the Flat Earth Society on the article about the Earth. Is the world round? Okay. The predominant scientific view is that the world is round, but there are a lot of people who say that the Earth is not round. Doesn't mean that the article needs to say, well, maybe it's round and maybe it isn't. The article will, and I believe the last time I checked, it says the Earth is round in diameter and da-da-da-da-da. And then there are alternative theories, link, and then it's like alternative theories of the shape of the Earth or something like that. Okay. All right. So on Wikipedia, there are many, many editors, 3.3 million articles, hundreds of thousands of editors, only about 1,800 administrators. So administrators are spread very, very thin. Administrators are generally going to be doing the whack-a-mole kind of work. They're going to be blocking the vandals that are coming in, or if someone says, wait a minute, I'm not a vandal, like, oops, okay, and then we unblock them. Or if we see a page that's obvious spam, the used car lot, we'll delete it, and then someone can challenge that deletion, and we may have a review and decide, okay, this particular used car lot is a landmark in that particular city, and there's many articles about this car lot. Maybe it is worth an article, and so we'll undelete it. There are review processes for all of these things. And we can also, if there's a page, say something big in the news with Michael Jackson, and everyone was flooding in and everyone wanted to change the article, and we put the article under what's called protection, which means only established editors can edit the article for a short period of time. We try not to keep articles under indefinite protection. Some articles, though, are under what's called indefinite semi-protection. So, for example, the article on whale or sun, which means that only people with accounts can edit those articles. Anonymous editors cannot. And the reason is because some of these articles, it's just school kids. They're sitting at school, they're bored, they got their computers, like they're going to go vandalize Wikipedia, and they're going to vandalize whatever they're studying at that particular moment, be whale, sun, apple, potato. So those very small terms tend to be articles that are protected all the time. Right. Administrators, as I mentioned, the perception is that they're senior academics. No, in general, they're students with lots of free time that are just helping out. So if you ever communicate with an administrator, don't assume that you're dealing with like a PhD from a university somewhere. It's probably a college student or maybe even a high school student.
I wish I had this when I was in high school.
Oh,
I would be just all over it.
Yeah, come on in. I mean, we'll take all the help we can get.
I've written like couple dozen articles and mm-hmm. and touched dozens of others mm-hmm. and you know,
I do what I have time to do.
I think I already talked about
how
this.
How long does it take in general to become an administrator?
Someone who has a goal of becoming an administrator, I would say they would want to have at least 6 months on the site, a minimum of 1,000 edits, preferably more, multiple thousands of edits, a history of working in more than just one topic area, so not just computer games, not just Star Trek episodes. And in terms of dealing with disputes, there's two schools of thought on that. There's one school of thought that says someone who has a history of having dealt with a dispute, resolving the dispute, going through consensus discussions is something that makes someone stronger as administrator. Another school of thought says, no, we don't want administrators who have a history of conflict behind them, because then they're going to be a bad administrator, because look, they get into arguments. So it's I'm of this side. So some people would say that to become an administrator, you want to avoid all conflict just to be safe. Whereas others would say, wow, if we see an administrative candidate who's never been a single argument ever, I mean, is this a real person? Yeah, or is this just someone creating a secondary account to become an administrator? And we have had that happen. We have people who have worked up like several accounts to become administrators. It's like an MMO, like they're going for what, level 80 in World of Warcraft or something. And you know, and then they have multiple administrators, but eventually they get caught. It comes out. Yeah. Okay.
So it would basically be impossible if you had, like, say, five, like you just built five incredibly stellar articles in entirely different subjects, like one in English, one in computer science, one in mathematics, one in nuclear physics, and like they're all completely fleshed out and they have multiple sources to everything. It would probably be unlikely for them to become an administrator as opposed to, say, doing 1,000 minor things.
That's a good question. Someone who had what you were talking about with those number of articles would be called a great content editor, and would just have people going, thank you, keep doing content. Why would you want to be an administrator? Then you're going to be dealing with vandals and we're going to lose all this great content, your creation. We want you to keep creating articles. We don't want you to deal with all this mop and bucket janitorial stuff. So if you really wanted to become an administrator and you're doing content, I would also spend a period of time doing the whack-a-mole stuff, fighting vandalism, cleanup art. We have entire categories of articles that have a little tag saying needs cleanup. And just find one of those categories, and some of these articles have said need cleanup for years, literally years, and just pick one, clean it up. Or we have articles that say need wikification, which means someone just basically copy-pasted something from, you know, they wrote something in Notepad, paste in Wikipedia, but there's no wiki markup, there's no bolding, there's no section headers. They have sources, but the sources are all run together because they didn't put in any line breaks in between anything. So we can tell there's an article there, but it just needs cleanup. And we have thousands and thousands of articles like that. So just go in and wikify things. You know, fix capitalization, bold things. And all those little edits will add up.
Add pictures.
Adding pictures. There's always a demand for pictures because every picture on Wikipedia, it cannot be a fair use picture. It has to be a licensed picture. You can't grab something off the internet and put it on Wikipedia. It has to be a picture where you have the permission of the photographer.
I took it.
Yeah. I took it. I'm freely licensing it under a CC by SA or a GFDL. This is a whole other discussion, but yeah, adding pictures will get people just loving you on Wikipedia because it's so hard to get freely licensed pictures.
Yeah, but then they took my picture off and said it wasn't licensed. And I said, but I said it was licensed. Yeah, I got it back.
Contact me afterwards and I can go through it and try and find out what happened there. Because there may be an issue where they had a reasonable doubt that you were who you said. They may have thought someone was impersonating you, or you may have just run into one of the whack-a-mole people. And I've had that. They've been doing whack-a-mole like hours and hours, and then 2 a.m. something happens and they just keep on going over something completely that they shouldn't have deleted, but you know, maybe they had a beer. You don't know. It's possible it was just human error. So if you contact me, I can try and help straighten that out. I think I've gone through this. I talked a little about Israel-Palestine. Islamic traditions is another area where there's been a lot of disputes on Wikipedia. I don't know if anyone here is Muslim, but just giving you fair warning that there are certain Muslim traditions that don't like to see an image of Muhammad. It's just against their religion. So I'm just letting you know I'm going to have a picture with some pictures of Muhammad here, and these are not necessarily bad pictures. They're in fact, even in Islamic tradition, Muhammad is traditionally portrayed with a veil covering his face because they believe that what was more important is what Muhammad was talking about and not the individual himself, and so that's why they wouldn't want to show his face. And this one was done by the Mongols, actually, who were in the process of converting to Islam, and it showed Muhammad as a very peaceful figure. He was really very much a diplomat, a peacemaker. There was a case where there was a building, the Kaaba, which had been destroyed in a flood, and they were rebuilding it, and there was this one very important stone called the Black Stone, a meteorite, that needed to be placed, and the various tribes were arguing about who had the honor of placing the stone, the Black Stone, into the Kaaba. And Muhammad came up with a way. He said, well, let's lay out a tapestry and put the stone on the tapestry, and now representatives of all the tribes would lift the tapestry together, and then Muhammad placed the stone in, and it was a way of keeping peace. And I think it's a beautiful story and a beautiful image, but we're constantly having people coming in and deleting the image from Wikipedia, saying it's an image of Muhammad, it's against Islamic tradition. Well, we've had discussions on this, and the discussions are Wikipedia is not censored. There are many religions that have, some religions don't allow a figure of anything. Other religions, you know, wouldn't like a picture of a woman or a woman where her shoulders are showing. We're like, too bad. You know, we've got Wikipedia, we're not censored. And as long as something is not obviously for prurient interest, we're going to place it on Wikipedia, whether it be images of Muhammad or a woman, you know, where her shoulders are showing or whatever it is. This was a real interesting dispute on Wikipedia where there was an edit war about the city of Gdansk or Danzig. Huge argument about, because the city had changed names, and so suppose you had someone who was born in the city when it was called Gdansk, but then later became Danzig, and then we're writing a biography. Do we say that he was born in Danzig or say that he was born in Gdansk? And these edit wars went on for years about this thing, and they finally came up with a very creative solution. And this tag is placed on every single article that even mentions Gdansk. If you write an article and it mentions Danzig, boom, this tag is going to go on the talk page of the article. And they say very specific, okay, if you're referring to the history of the city between 1308 and 1945, you should use the term Danzig. But if you're referring to history after this, you know, you're going to use Gdansk. And it laid it out, and it finally brought peace. It was a consensus decision to resolve this. And we've had this type of dispute about several different areas. So I know we're kind of running a little short on time, so I'm going to kind of skip some of this. If you want to find an argument on Wikipedia, go to the site called WikiRage, which will list whatever articles are in the middle of great edit wars. And it might be that there's a dispute. It might just be that the article has appeared on the front page of Wikipedia, which means that there's going to be thousands of people going there and changing it all of a sudden. So sometimes we just leave it alone, and sometimes there's a dispute that administrators may go and wade into, or sometimes we'll just... yeah, just let it die out on its own. If, as an administrator, goes in, there's certain things we'll check and triage. Number one, sources. Are people basing their arguments on sources or on their own opinions? We'll also see, is the article about a living person, which changes everything because we want to protect living people at all costs. Are people discussing things in a civil manner, saying, well, I disagree with your source, or you're an idiot, okay? If it's you're an idiot, we're like, okay, you're out of the discussion. Let the civil people continue on with the discussion. And are the people who are engaged in this, are these established editors who work on many things on Wikipedia, or are they just focused on articles about Star Trek and they never edit anything else? We may call those SPA, single-purpose accounts, and again, we may remove them to allow other editors who are more well-rounded editors to deal with a particular dispute. Yeah. So if you want to become an editor, my advice to people is create a user page. Create an identity that says a little bit about yourself, what your interests are. You don't need to put your real name and address and all that, but just, hi, I'm on Wikipedia. I really enjoy working on articles about medieval French history. And it just helps build trust to have just that little bit more information about you. You can look at other people's user pages and see what they do. Participate in multiple topics. Try not to get too focused on one specific area. If you ever run into a dispute, stay very calm, cite your sources, and don't worry about formatting things. Wiki has a lot of bizarre markup. Don't worry about that. Just try and get the information out there, and other editors will come along who are experts on formatting and will fix things for you. Try to build social networks. You'll run into other editors. Try and remember names, and you'll gradually start learning, well, these editors tend to cite sources, and these tend to be more like hotheads, but still assume good faith. They may be hotheads because they're just really sick of all the arguments on Wikipedia, and they'll calm down once they see you as a real person. If you see a mistake, go ahead and fix it. Just be bold and go in there. If you see something that's there and has no source, you can either remove it or put a fact tag on it. If it's about a living person and you're pretty sure it's wrong, just pull it. Don't even worry about arguing. Just delete it. If it's about you and it's missing information about you, maybe put it on the talk page and suggest that maybe this might someone else might wish to include it in the article. If a dispute comes out, stay calm, cite your sources, don't work from personal knowledge, and take the long view. Some people think, oh, this article has to be changed right now. But Wikipedia, it's a flowing river, and the article, it may be like really bad now, but not that many people are reading it right now. Take the long view. What's it going to look like a month from now or a year from now? Go for these eventual slow changes, and that's a much better way to get the article into a stable position. Do seek opinions from other editors. The pizza principle, consensus. It has to be mushroom, it has to be sausage. It's okay if it has mushroom on one side, sausage on the other. Just try to represent all the ingredients. Don't try to decide a dispute. Just describe what the dispute is. Went through that. So, cover Wikipedia disputes. They're resolved by sources and consensus, not by an authoritative decision. Editing conflicts tend to be enhanced by what's going on in the real world, especially if there's controversies and scandals. There's a lot going on behind the scenes. It's almost like an MMO, a multiplayer game, the culture that's going on there. The culture is very anti-authority, but there are some administrators. They may be empowered to deal with issues, but they're not going to make decisions on content, article content, only on user conduct. Okay. Covered all that. If you want to contact me, ilanka@gmail.com. My user page on Wikipedia is on English Wikipedia and .wikipedia.org/wiki/user:Ilanka. Or if you change that user colon Ilanka to Ilanka_Dunnan, that's the actual article about me, which I didn't write, but you're welcome to go in there. Don't go in there and say, wow, she did a great job at Dragon Con. It'll just, boom, it'll get deleted.
It is a rather good article, though.
Any other questions on anything?
If you... say took a video of something,
mm-hmm.
and it would probably, like, if you tried to use it in as the basis for an article, it would probably get deleted.
Mm-hmm.
But
primary source.
Yes, but then say CNN cites that, mm-hmm. cites that
secondary source.
Then do you have to cite the CNN source, or can you then say this is a good the original
CNN.
Video?
You okay. have to cite CNN. Yep. And if it's your video, we would love if you would license it freely so that we can then use it on Wikipedia. That would be really cool.
We had talked earlier about, I had seen your presentation 2 years ago, I think, mm-hmm. and it was quite good. And I was wondering, people came back, yeah, people, this one was quite good. They were since I'm a sysadmin and I work in information security at university, people keep asking me about Wikipedia. I said, well, as a matter of fact, I saw this really cool presentation on it, and I understood then how the result, the resolution of conflict worked and everything else. Well, to my surprise, one day I get a complaint from somebody at our university about defacement and vandalism of an article about the president of our university on Wikipedia. It's not uncommon where somebody at a university, for instance, or a corporation, where there's an article about somebody from that organization says, I own that article.
Yeah.
And a student decided to vandalize the page, and they didn't do it by going in and contesting like the normal thing where they get in a reversion war.
Mm-hmm.
He actually just went in and said, the president is a blah, 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 blank,
yeah.
blank, you know. And he kept doing it, and the guy kept reverting it, and he'd do it again, he'd revert it again. And he didn't always add the same thing back. He'd add new stuff. So rather than go through the normal method, it kind of surprised me, having known that there was a method. They sent me a complaint and said, please make them stop. I said, oh, okay. So
Wikipedia
I didn't...
Wikipedia sent it?
No, the person who had taken it upon themselves to be the editor for the
okay.
page...
Oh, right, okay.
Right, contacted us, contacted the campus who sent the
right,
complaint
right.
to me because it came from one of our machines,
right. mm-hmm.
and said, "This, you make the student stop defacing mm-hmm. Wikipedia." At
right.
which point, having listened to your presentation, I went... that's a problem. That's one, they have a right to free speech. Two, they're allowed to edit it, and they have a resolution mechanism. Do I have to protect the student from the powers that be on a campus and say, no, he has a right to do that, and it is open to be edited by anybody, and he has a right to free speech, and I have to protect those rights. I'm sorry, I'm not going to do anything. Or do I tell him, no, you can't do that. Stop it. That's wrong. Mm-hmm. Well, that created quite a firestorm. We had massive discussions on both sides. The final resolution was, yes, he has a right to free speech. He can, in fact, edit the page, and there is a resolution within Wikipedia for handling it, mm-hmm. and that we should have let them handle it that way. I did collect all the evidence and took it to the Dean of Students, and what we decided was that the student had a right to do all of that. He did not have a right, however, to do it from equipment owned by our university, which defamed our university. It brought shame on the university's mm-hmm. reputation. And so we simply said, knock yourself out in your dorm room on your laptop, or right. go to the local cafe or a library, but you can't do it from here.
Interesting. Interesting. Yeah, the advice that I've given sometimes to school administrators as to whether or not they should give someone access is, I would say, yes, we have dispute resolution processes on Wikipedia, and if we're having trouble with, say, you know, Jimmy Boy 27, say, is the ID that's coming in, I'll say, go to Jimmy Boy 27's talk page and look at the kinds of comments that other Wikipedia editors are leaving for him. Are they saying, hey, help me with this article, hey, where did you get the source? Or is it a series of red stop signs with hands saying, you vandalized here, you vandalized here, you vandalized here, stop it or you're going to be blocked from Wikipedia. So if you see a series of warnings on someone's page, then as a school IP, I would say you'd probably have more right to, like, this person is causing problems for Wikipedia, pull it. But if you go to their talk page and it's just calm discussion and, you know, maybe some disputes, but they're being worked through, then I would do what you did, which is hands off.
Yeah, the interesting thing is, of course, during the investigation, I collected everything. I had all his logs. I had copies of every web page he went to, mm-hmm. one of which was the vandalism page at Wikipedia, which I thought was humorous. And the reaction the student had when we took him to the Dean of Students, our Dean of Students is an ex-Air Force general who has a sense of humor about these things measured in negative numbers. And as soon as the student walked in, he says, what were you doing? And this is the student's reaction. I didn't mean to do it. I knew it was wrong. I shouldn't have done it. I swear. Okay, you'll apologize and write a paper. And they made him write a paper, and he had to apologize to the person who was administering the page. But yeah, it was a very interesting case because all of a sudden, knowing what I knew from your presentation, I knew I couldn't just go in and cut the guy off at the knees like we normally would.
Any other questions on Wikipedia? Because
how much infighting is there between administrators? Like,
lots.
How many people? Like, how often is Jimmy Wales called a bitch in a year?
Oh, his Jimbo Wales, who was one of the founders, and just the debate, was he a founder or a co-founder, is just long, long edit wars on that one issue. His article is defaced, his article is defaced on a regular basis. We try to present the good face of Wikipedia, and when there's dispute between administrators, we are supposed to emulate the proper way of dealing with disputes. So we might have a situation where, you know, Joe Bob needs to be, you know, we have three administrators say Joe Bob just needs to be blocked permanently, we don't want Joe Bob, and we have two administrators saying, Joe Bob, he's made a couple of good articles, let's give him another chance. And so then the administrators are supposed to go through the dispute resolution process and discuss things, come to a consensus saying, okay, we won't block him permanently, we're just going to block him for 1 week, and then he's got one chance after that, and then we'll figure out some way of dealing with it. But there are disputes, yeah.
Is there any discussion on stopping the anonymous edits?
And that's, again, a really good question, because Wikipedia is vandalized so much. Some people just say, well, just don't allow anonymous edits. Require registered accounts only. Maybe there needs to be some sort of ID check. And the community has said, no, Wikipedia's design is the open encyclopedia that anyone can edit. We will remain open. If that means more vandalism, it means more vandalism. We play more whack-a-mole, but anonymous edits are here to stay.
What was your most, like, okay, come on. What was your most, like, you know, how people tend to vandalize certain things and change facts. What was your most vandalized article you've seen recently?
Oh, God. Whatever article is the current featured article is probably the most rapidly, frequently vandalized article. And I've talked to people who create featured articles, and it's ironic because you go through this whole process of creating this beautiful article, beautiful citations, you've modified every word, and then you go on the main page, and boom, the vandals just start pouring in. And the analogy is it's like standing in front of a staple gun. You know, you're creating this beautiful article just so you can go through this pain of watching people come in and change the article. But people will still go for it. They still want to have that feature.
Why don't you lock the main article for the day it's on?
And that's exactly like what this guy was asking. Why don't we just say any article that's the featured article, lock it down, protect it so it cannot be edited? And it comes back to Wikipedia is the open encyclopedia that anyone can edit. And that means even if it's on the main page, even if it's subject to vandalism, we're going to stay open. There are exceptions. If something gets so bad where we can't even keep up with it, the vandalism is coming in like multiple times per minute, we may protect the article for a short time. But if at all possible, it's just going to be temporary, and we don't like doing it. The last question, because they signed me up for another talk at 4 o'clock. So I have to
is there any page that isn't, that cannot be edited, period?
That would be a page that's under full protection, and it happens, but again, it's a very temporary thing. It's usually because the editors that were working on it just could not come to any kind of agreement. There were constant edit wars. We were blocking people. They kept on arguing, and so we just say, boom, full protection. No one can edit this article for 2 weeks. Figure it out on the talk page. Then we unprotect the article, and we tell them, be nice. Yeah. Okay, one more question in the back.
On that topic, what's the longest a page has been?
The longest a page has been full protected? I think it's just a case of it got forgotten. There was a page that was protected for like a year. And it was just the argument went on to somewhere else, and people forgot that one page was protected. I actually did a sweep. I was looking for pages that were like that had been forgotten. And I saw this, and I put up a note up saying, you know, it's been protected for a year. Maybe we should like unprotect it. And like it got unprotected immediately. It was just an oversight. All right, so Wikipedia, great resource. If you want to help, come on in. The more sane people, the better. If you want to leave a note for me on my user page, user:Ilanka, I would love to hear from you. Thank you very much for coming.
Thank you.